The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome once again to a Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission on your mind. I'm Tony Curry along with Michael Coleman. He's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. He is doing a wonderful job down there in Montgomery, Alabama, covering 35 counties in the great state of Alabama. And Michael, we talked about this earlier. This is not just a show about non-for-profits or about Feeding America or the wonderful work you did. And we have another show called Bite by Bite for that runs right after this here on TKR, wherever you get your favorite podcast. But it's really a business show. It really gives us a chance to kind of stretch our legs a little bit and talk about everything from the mission statements to how to start businesses to non-for-profits to our economic situations going on in this country. It's just a great show. I've learned a lot as a business. I'll be honest with you, I've been using you for the last 2 years to build my own business. You're a guy just comes on you're like my therapy for 30 minutes every week. You come in and you get me through some things. So, you actually come up with a lot of the topics that we're going to get into, and we'll get into a really cool one today. But how you doing, brother? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm doing great. And you're right. We started out as a nonprofit, and we kind of just said, hey, a lot of these things we talk about and that were specific to nonprofit are just, doesn't matter where you're for profit or nonprofit. These principles apply across the board. So we started getting into a lot of the business side of things. And we still will hit on some specific things in the nonprofit space. But yeah, a lot of key things that you and I've had some fantastic conversation about.
Let's start right there. So the NCAA is a non-for-profit. They're going through this whole antitrust thing right now that's up in New York. I guess Nick Saban was up there on Capitol Hill last week talking about how they're going to try to protect the antitrust laws of the NCAA. And the PGA, for example, is also a non-for-profit. And you go, what? The PGA is a non-for-profit? Yeah. When you think about non-for-profits, I think about charities. I think majority of us think about charities. Right. We think about some type of awareness or advocate for some wonderful cause, and that's certainly true. What separates, say, for an example, just talk about, say, the NCAA or the PGA. Why are they a non-for-profit? And also throw in the fact what is the difference between, I mean, obviously you have to pay your employees, right? So you're going to be,
absolutely.
So you're just because I think a lot of people think that a non-for-profit is a bunch of people working for free. It's not.
Right.
You go to any other organization.
It's really, in some ways it's a misnomer because a lot of people think, oh, well, you have to spend everything that you bring in that you can't show a net gain on the revenue side. And I get why people would think that, but that really has nothing to do with it. The, staff's a nonprofit, and you'll hear a lot of people refer to it as a 501c3. Mm-hmm. Well, there's 501c, and then it's like 1 through 29, I believe. So all of those are nonprofits. But the difference is a 501c3 is a charitable nonprofit, which means if you give to a 501c3 organization, that which is a charitable organization, like I said, then that money becomes tax deductible. So you can have different nonprofits structured for different things, but if it's not for charitable, if it's not designated by the IRS as a 501c3, there are certain benefits to being a nonprofit, but if you support that or give to that, it's not tax deductible for the donor.
So what? So I'll use an example. There are radio stations that are non-for-profit. And I think I even had a conversation with you, you know, I did Tony Curry Radio and something that I am for profit and proud to be so. And I'm thinking to myself, so if you're getting into something and you're always looking for a way to take advantage of the tax system or anything else, and obviously there are a lot of tax breaks that come along with a non-for-profit. What's the difference in creating a business that's for profit and non-for-profit? What's the differences?
Because so the easiest way to explain it is all about how it's structured and how it's governed. So if I create an organization, like I created Hope Inspired Ministries, and it was intended to be a nonprofit, but I had to create the entity first. And then after the entity was created, then I had to apply a separate application to the IRS to apply to become a 501c3. But we were an S corp incorporation at the time. And so the difference is, the easiest way to explain it is, if I own a business, you own TKR, the money that comes in, that's yours. You get to choose who to hire, fire, what to do, how much to keep, how much to spend, whatever. A nonprofit can bring money in. You can sell things. You can have excess at the end of the day. As a matter of fact, you hope to have excess at the end of the day, that you're bringing in more revenue than you're spending. The difference is that I, as the CEO, am not the owner of the business. So every 501c3 is governed by a board of directors. And all revenue, let's say I bring in $1 million more than I spend, I can't take that like a bonus and put it in my pocket and take it home like I could if I was CEO. That money has to remain within the organization and for organizational purposes. Now, you still have payroll. We have payroll every 2 weeks that run here at the food bank. We still have utility costs and insurance costs and all kind of things, you know, normal kind of operating stuff that every business has. But at the end of the day, we do a monthly reconciliation that I meet with the board and do that. We have a board of directors meeting where we get a full accounting every other month. And they're the ones that I answer to. So I get a salary as a CEO, and they are authorized perhaps at some point to give me a bonus. But the money is not my money. It is the organization's money, and all money brought in has to go back into the operations of the organization under the authority and governance of a board of directors. And there must be at least a minimum of 3 people on your board to be an RS 501c3. And I, as a CEO, am simply an employee who answers to the board. Yes, I'm the chief executive officer. Yes, I can do all the hiring and firing. I do all the day-to-day. I set the vision. I set all that. But it's really the board who has to endorse those things and really has the overall financial responsibility to make sure that financial matters are handled correctly, that the nonprofit stays, the operations of the nonprofit stay within the boundaries of the nonprofit. That's all their responsibilities. They hire and fire the leader. The leader then hires and fires the day-to-day, everybody else within the organization.
Well, what's your take on individuals? And if you're a board member, you don't get paid, correct?
It's typically the case that you do not, although you are not prohibited from getting paid as a board member. And lots of times that's confusing to people, because you'll see these corporations that have boards, board members, and lots of those are paid board members.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll give you an example. I know he's passed away. Colin Powell will be one example. So, well-respected man, retires out of the military, does government service. People just want his name attached to their business. Mm-hmm. So he might serve on a board of directors of a corporation, which is, again, a different thing, and may get paid easily 6 figures to be on that board and, you know, and to handle 4 board meetings a year or whatever it is.
Oh.
Nonprofits typically, now you have national nonprofits like St. Jude's, Feeding America. You'll have board members all over the country. Sometimes even in other countries. Your average nonprofit like us is going to be locally operating in your community, and you're going to have community, a combination of business people, government people, community people, all who have an interest in making sure that you're moving forward effectively. And so you want to bring in people who have good business acumen, who can help be a great ambassador for what you're doing, who can help fundraise and solicit on your behalf. And so it really, while legally it is, you know, the board is the supervises or oversees the operations of the CEO, you really want to have a great environment, a team environment where you're working hand in hand. I try to do my best to keep my board informed, but also do my best to not unnecessarily put things on them because, look, they have their own jobs. They have their own. They're doing this. They're not receiving compensation. They just do it for the good of this community. And so I try to do everything I can to take burden off of them. But I also have to respect them as my authority, and I'm accountable to them.
Speaking of working hand in hand, you wanted to get into networking today. I got a son of mine, first year at Clemson. And I said, man, these years are so exciting for you. And you're meeting so many different people from all over the country, and you're all wanting to do different things. And based on what your major is or what your minor is, you're meeting people that are probably going to work with you, or you're going to cross paths with them in the future. And I said, sure. So now's the time to build those relationships, particularly with the smart kids. You know, go hang out with the smart kids at college. Right. My brother-in-law, who is an attorney, a lawyer up in St. Louis, he's a property lawyer, does all kinds of property things, and buys partials of land for a very successful grocery store up there called Schnucks, and basically does all their lawyering for them. But he's kept in touch with four or five guys that he went to Southern Illinois and also Vanderbilt with, that he keeps in touch with. These five guys, they go on trips to Vegas together. They go on motorcycle trips to Canada together. They go on hunting trips together. They go on three or four trips. But they all work together. They're all lawyers, and they all have their own little piece of the pie. Okay, I'm going to be right. The title lawyer. You're going to be the real estate lawyer. And they all work together, and it works really, yeah. really well. So once one piece of business gets in the till, all five guys are going to have a piece of the pie, right? And it works very, yeah. very well. It's a great hit. It's a great tool. It's a great networking sure. tool. And so I keep telling, you know, my son Santo how important it is at this point in his life. You hope to be doing business with people that you know, maybe not in high school, but certainly you went to college with, because you know you're sure. gonna be asked to be on some boards later on in your life. Just talk about how important networking is, and how important it is to be open minded to learn from other individuals, perhaps, and know a little bit more about the skill than you do.
Well, I was first introduced to this. So spent 21 years in the Army, first introduced. The problem is lots of times in the Army, you come across, you meet a lot of people, a lot of key people that go on and make general and can mm-hmm. really influence your career. But it's difficult because it's difficult to always get stationed with them again and interact with them. And you're kind of communicating. And back in the day, this is, you know, when email was just coming on board. But I really began to see that while you were stationed with somebody, if you were somebody with high rank and could call your own branch and say, hey, I want this captain to do this, or I want this guy to do this, you begin to see the value of having people with authority and power advocating for you. And it just began to open up my eyes a little bit. Well, when I got into the nonprofit space, especially here in Montgomery, now, I was born and raised an hour from here, so I'm familiar with the area, but I really didn't know any of the families here in Montgomery. I really didn't know any of the people. When I went to Birmingham, Vermont, same kind of thing, didn't know anybody. And so it can be incredibly difficult when you're like, okay, where do I start? But when I started the nonprofit, I was like, I only know a couple of people, but you know what? I'm just going to get out there and begin to start connecting with people. And so really kind of that whole process, because I know there's a lot of people that go, well, you know, I'm an introvert. It's hard for me to talk to people. It's hard for me. The idea of building a network, how in the world, you know, where do I even start from? And so I was like, yeah, that would be something that's worthwhile that you and I could talk about. Just how to begin that process, especially for people who aren't naturally equipped to do it or don't naturally find themselves in different groups.
Well, I would think that an organization, and they don't spend any advertising money with either one of us, but LinkedIn, an organization like a social media organization that is primarily looked upon as more business than fluff like LinkedIn is. Although I'm hearing from several friends of mine now, it's kind of turning into a dating app, which I'm not so sure about. So I don't know if you want to go meet somebody on LinkedIn. I guess you could do maybe they think it's linked up in a different type of way. But talk about just, you know, because there are different ways, even if you're introverted, You don't have to be so much a people person or shaking hands. You can even be a germaphobe. And maybe if you have a good LinkedIn account, you can network that way as well. Talk about the importance of that.
Well, see, I've had a lot of people, and I have mixed emotions about LinkedIn and social media. I do think it has a useful purpose. I probably use it different than most because I think about, there's lots of people who reach out to me, and I used to think, oh man, look at this. I'm so popular. Everybody wants to be my friend, not paying attention to what they did. It's just the equivalent of cold calling, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, Michael, I see you're doing great things at the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I really feel like I can help you with this. So I turn away now most people who reach out to me. But I still use it because I will run into somebody that's a key person. And I'll give you just a great example. There was a president of a bank where there was a reception being done for Leadership Montgomery. We had an employee going to Leadership Montgomery. And so I went to the bank to celebrate that. Well, I looked across the room and there was this bank president that I had heard about that I had never met before. So I was just like, hey, I'm going to go. So I go over there. He's talking to two people. I just stand beside him and he looks over and he sees me and I'm trying not to interrupt him. And, you know, I'm trying to wait my turn. And then he turned to me and I said, hey, Carl, I'm Michael Coleman. I'm CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I've heard a lot about you. And we're doing some banking here as well, but I'm here and I saw you and I've just heard great things and I just have never, you know, introduced myself to you and I just want to do so. Well, he said, well, I've seen you on TV here locally and, you know, so we got to strike up a little bit of a conversation. And what I did was I came back to the next day, I came back to the office and I was on LinkedIn. I was like, I looked him up, boom, there was. And what that did was that reinforced, okay, we've met now. He knows who I am, reinforced. And then he accepted my invite. So I kind of use it like that because now I can tap in. If I didn't have his contact information, I can download that kind of stuff on LinkedIn. I can get information that I need. But the reality is at some point in time, you're not going to be able to build a strong network without the face-to-face or without the in-person. I can, you know, sometimes I've gotten on Zoom calls and then I like know somebody, mm-hmm. but until you break bread with somebody, until you sit down with a cup of coffee, until you swap a few stories with each other, there's just something about that dynamic that builds, starts to build a bond. And I get it that introverts, it's like so painful sometimes for them to do it. But it's so valuable. And something that I think is the most, when I think about networking, there's so many things you could talk about. But I have found that the most valuable thing about networking is not just looking at it from a perspective of how can I grow my business or how can I grow my connections. Lots of times I talk to people and I make things available for them. So a great example would be people knew that I started a nonprofit from scratch. Mm-hmm. And then there's lots of people that have since go, when they hear somebody's going to do something, they're like, oh, wait a minute, I know a guy who started a nonprofit. He'd be glad if you call him. And I put that out there and people refer them to me all the time. And because I like helping people, but you're extending value. You're not just coming at somebody and saying, hey, I think I can help you. My business model can help you or my business product can help you. It's all about, hey, I want to make the community better. And if I can help you do that, if I can help you in yours, if I can help you in this, I'm willing to do that. And so people, you're not just coming at people with this ulterior motive of how do I raise money or how do I get something out of you? It's like, no, I get it. I understand the whole game, but I authentically want to be in this space and I'm available to those who might need me. And so you have to be giving of yourself. And I think once people see that and see that authentic nature, then not only do they want to take advantage of that at times, but they also want to spend time with you and help you be successful. So you just create more natural communications back and forth as you're, and which ultimately accomplishes what you're trying to accomplish, which is to grow your network, grow your influence, grow your business.
This is Mission Minded. I'm sitting here looking at 35 emails right now. Seriously, it's 35 emails saying, first of all, they say, if it says Anthony, I know they don't know who I am, because my name is Tony, but it'll say, Anthony, how are you? It's been such a long time. And I'm like, okay, you're full of crap. I know you're not, because no one could, right. My mom was the only one that called me Anthony, and it was before I was going to get spanked. But yeah, it's funny because you mentioned that there's so many people, you may have met them. Sometimes I think it almost feels a little stalkish. Now, if someone reaches out to me and asks me to friend them or follow them in return, I can always say no. But if I just met someone last night and they can do something, but listen, let's be honest here. If you're networking, you're looking for something in return. You're networking, you do something for me, I do something for you. That's how it works. And it works together. Okay. Can you briefly talk about, because the worst thing you can do, and I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, is go down a snake hole with somebody and really think that this is someone that you could probably utilize in some form or fashion, and you find out you've just wasted a ton of your time. And I'm trying to think the last time that really happened to me, whether it was someone trying to sell me a copier or something, you know, and you're like, well, this, and it turns out just to be a really hell of a great salesperson is what it turned out to be. You do what? You know, I thought you did, you know, next thing you know, you've spent 3 times on the phone with this guy and you realize that, you know, he's wanting to sell you a copier, right? That happened to me a couple of weeks ago. Can you talk about some of the signs, some of the flags you look for when it comes to networking, the good networkers and the bad networkers?
Yeah. So there's some people who come right at you. And it's so funny you mentioned that, calling you Anthony. Last year, well, it's been about 8 months now, we've changed from the Montgomery Food Bank to the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. And I'll have somebody say, hey, I've really been studying you and the work you're doing at the Montgomery Food Bank is phenomenal. And I'm like, well, you hadn't studied me in the last 8 or 9 months because we've changed our name.
Yeah.
So there's those kind of giveaways. And there's people who they keep playing with the templates, trying to come across as real or authentic and all that kind of stuff. And that's why I'm saying you just can't do that effectively through emails. The red flags are when people come at you very aggressively and they're not interested really in knowing you. They're interested in determining right away whether you're a prospect or not.
Yeah.
If you want to enter into a business relationship with them or not.
And it feels good, by the way, for people to reach out, because when they're reaching out to you about your business, they are showing appreciation or you know, at least a response to something you're doing. And that makes you feel, oh, someone's interested in what I'm doing.
Well, I will tell you, I had this guy, and he's a consultant. And I think the guy's a smart guy. And I think what he was doing was good. And it could have been good. But he turned into the Riddler. And I was at a a reception. And so I get a drink, and I'm just standing there. And he says, hi, I'm Gary. And I'm, hey, Gary, what do you do? And then he starts asking me questions like, what's your 3 to 5 year plan? Dude, I only know you. What do you mean, what's my 3 to 5 year? And then he starts saying, well, if you don't have a 3 to 5 year plan, then you're going nowhere. And I'm like, dude, not only have you annoyed me, I feel like I'm losing self-worth and self-esteem by the second. So yeah. I just wanted to get away from this guy. Mm-hmm. And like I said, people have done business with him. That he's a smart guy and he really knows how to help. But he just came on so aggressively. I'm like, dude, I'm willing to do with you. I mean, even if you've got something good, I don't want to sit down and try to figure out what it is, because you're just so abrasive and so in your face. People who come across arrogant, like they've already got it all figured out. And that's why some people say, well, then how do you do it? Well, I always try to think, if you really believe in what you're doing, okay, then you should be passionate about it, and you should be ready to talk about it both in a concise way. I always talk about the 30-second elevator speech. I've got you. We get on the elevator together. We're going up to the 5th floor, and then you ask me what I do. I've got to tell you in a succinct way that you understand it as you step off the 5th floor. But I think about just a lot of our natural things. So I'm in Rotary Club. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of friendships in Rotary Club, but I've spoken to my Rotary Club at every opportunity about different aspects of food banking. So they've known me. They know what I do. They know where the need is. Then I have my church family that it's another natural group that I go to. And then there's the Chamber of Commerce. We belong to the different chambers of commerce. And so we go. And sometimes there's overlap where you see the same people. But everywhere you go, if you're looking, there can be a different community group for you. And not to mention the time that you spend as a volunteer or as a donor in other organizations. But there's just no shortcuts to getting out there, finding opportunities or groups, going to lunch with people, going to coffees. And a lot of times, not just hammering them over the head with business. I remember I went out with this banker, and I knew he wanted me to start doing some banking with him. He's a great guy, Jason. I didn't know Jason. Jason didn't know me. We just went out to lunch. We went through the entire lunch and didn't talk about business. At the very end, he goes, "Hey, you know what we do banking wise? You know, we're big on relationship. Hey, I know you just changed over to this other bank. So you're probably not interested in changing, but just know when you are, I'd love to have a conversation with you."
Boom.
So he just led there. So when I saw Jason the next time, it was just a pleasant handshake. Jason's not trying to sell me. I mean, he's not forcing himself on me. Jason's willing just to go out and get to know each other a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And that authenticity means that I would be open to doing business with Jason at some point. But if Jason would have sat down with me, have lunch, we don't know each other, and he'd have pulled out the brochure and he'd start hammering me with facts or trashing my bank that I'm at or whatever, I'd have been like, I'm never doing business with this.
Yeah, I think it's really important because there's one thing that we can't take back, and that's our time. I can give you all kinds of things. My time is the most important thing. And there's nothing worse. Like you said, you get invested in something and you're like, if it takes two or three times for like when you go out and sell something, I always, you know, it's the 5-7 rule. It takes about 5-7 calls to close a sale, whether you're selling something for the Heart of Alabama Food Bank or Tony Curry Radio or whatever. It usually takes 5-7, times, whether it's sitting down or talking on the phone or running them into the store or whatever. And you want to make sure that you're not wasting your time. And I think there's a couple of things that you know, as a business owner, I've been approached by a lot of things that I've never been approached before that make me feel good as a business owner. I think my business must be doing pretty well because I got a lot of people asking me about this. Well, it's only a matter of a couple more phone calls before they're asking me to stroke a check.
Right.
And so just as a business owner, I'm sure you can pile on this. If it seems too good to be true, I mean, how many times we had to say that in our lives? I mean, how many times? I just, if it seems too good to be true, why is this person taking such an interest in my business or somebody taking an interest in my life? What's going on here? If something just doesn't feel right, there's something else up to it. That goes for if they want to go on a date with you or the way they want to sell you a copier. Just be cognizant of that. And the other thing is, again, it's nice to change. You know, I had a friend of mine. He used to call it dancing. Let's do some dancing together. If we're going to do some business together, I'm going to give you some money and you're going to give me some money. We're going to do some. We call that dancing for lack of a better term. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And if one person is doing all the leading and the other person is not doing any trading back, then you ain't dancing.
That's right.
And so it's important, you know, as someone, if you are using someone or someone's using you to get to a point where, you know, if you're going to get in a relationship or some type of networking situation, to be upfront and say, listen, you know, there's not a whole lot more I can do here in this particular situation. And I'm not going to spend any more money with you because I've seen it go both ways. And, you know, because you never know, what that person is going to be doing next in their line of work. It's amazing to me how many people I used to actually work for that end up working for me. And you've certainly seen that as you get older, you'll see that in your life. But, I think it's super important, but really good stuff, man. Great stuff.
Well, let me just end with this thought. When you were talking to me, you really hit on something when you talked about the dancing, the giving back and forth. So we have 12 counties. Well, part of what I'm trying to do, we have this county that's a large county that we're trying to get deeper into. So we went out to our 12 counties and just said, hey, we want to join every single chamber of commerce in these 12 counties, because we're going to go talk to the county commissioners. We're going to talk to the city councils, that towns are big enough for city councils. So I took out an ad in Pike County, where Troy, Alabama is. It's one of the larger counties that we serve. We want to make more inroads. Of course, we're advertising, but it was in their main chamber book. You know, we bought a full page ad. Now, it's kind of expensive. I don't know that we'll get our money back, but it just requires sometimes an investment forward where you're initiating, hey, yes, do I want to benefit from that advertising? Of course I do. But now it shows that you're willing to support their efforts to have a better Troy, even though we're in Montgomery. And what I found is that when we're projecting that, hey, we want to be, we've had chambers that have reached back out and said, oh, y'all have never been a part of our chamber. Thanks so much. We're glad to have you. And we're like, yeah, because we genuinely care about, we're working with people in your community. We want to be there. So think about sometimes what you can do to invest in the work of other people and understand that the benefit to that is relationship. If you have a relationship, you have networking. Now, if you don't have a relationship, your networking can be very superficial and people will tend to only look at you as a potential source of revenue. I would rather them look at me as somebody who genuinely cares about our community, wants to do the right thing, is willing to help in any way I can, but also understands that that other person is part of that equation and they have things to give as well. I found that that's the healthiest and longest lasting relationships that you can build in the community.
Any questions or responses to what we talked about today here on Mission Miner or any other show? All of our shows are available on every major industry when it comes down to our podcasting. Of course, you can watch right here on the Tony Curry YouTube channel, Mission Minded, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Till next week, my friend, thank you.
Enjoy as always.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.